by some senators.
Casca will tell us what the matter is.
Antonio.
Caesar.
Let me have men about me that are fat, sleek-headed men, and such as sleep o' nights. Yond Cassius has a lean and hungry look. He thinks too much. Such men are dangerous.
Fear him not, Caesar. He's not dangerous. He's a noble Roman and well given.
Would he were fatter. But I fear him not. Yet if my name were liable to fear, I do not know the man I should avoid so soon as that spare Cassius. He reads much. He is a great observer. And he looks quite through the deeds of men. He loves no plays as thou dost, Antony. He hears no music. Seldom he smiles, and smiles in such a sort as if he mocked himself and scorned his spirit that could be moved to smile at anything. Such men as he be never at heart's ease whilst they behold a greater than themselves, and therefore are they very dangerous. I rather tell thee what is to be feared than what I fear, for always I am Caesar.
Come on my right hand, for this ear is deaf, and tell me truly what thou thinkest of him.
You pulled me by the cloak, you would speak with me?
Aye, Casca. Tell us what hath chanced today, that Caesar looks so sad.
Why, you were with him, were you not?
I should not then ask Casca what hath chanced.
Why, there was a crown offered him, and being offered him, he put it by with the back of his hand, thus, and then the people fell a-shouting.
What was the second noise for?
Why, for that too.
They shouted thrice. What was the last cry for?
Why, for that too.
Was the crown offered him thrice?
Aye, marry wast. Only put it by thrice, every time gentler than the other. At every putting by, mine honest neighbours shouted.
Who offered him the crown?
Why, Antony.
Tell us the manner of it, gentle Casca.
I can as well be hanged as tell the manner of it. It was mere foolery. I did not mark it. I saw Mark Antony offer him a crown. Yet was not a crown neither. It was one of these coronets. And, as I told you, he put it by, once. But for all that, to my thinking, he would fain have had it. Then he offered it to him again, and he put it by, again. But to my thinking, he was very loath to lay his fingers off it. And then he offered it the third time. He put it the third time by. And still, as he refused it, the rabblement hooted, and clapped their chopped hands, and threw up their sweaty nightcaps, and uttered such a deal of stinking breath because Caesar refused the crown that it almost choked Caesar. He swooned and fell down at it. And for mine own part, I durst not laugh for fear of opening my lips and receiving the bad air.
But soft, I pray you, what? Did Caesar swoon?
He fell down in the marketplace and foamed at mouth and was speechless.
'Tis very like. He hath the falling sickness.
No, Caesar hath it not, but you and I and honest Casca, we have the falling sickness.
I know not what you mean by that, but I'm sure Caesar fell down. If the tag-rag people did not clap him and hiss him according as he pleased and displeased them, as they used to do the players in the theatre, I'm no true man.
What said he when he came unto himself?
Marry, before he fell down, when he perceived the common herd was glad he refused the crown, he plucked me ope his doublet and offered them his throat to cut. And I had been a man of any occupation, if I would not have taken him at a word, I would I might go to hell among the rogues. And so he fell. When he came to himself again, he said, if he had done or said anything amiss, he desired their worships to think it was his infirmity. Three or four wenches where I stood cried, alas, good soul, and forgave him with all their hearts. But there's no heed to be taken of them. If Caesar had stabbed their mothers, they'd have done no less.
And after that, he came thus sad away?
Aye.
Did Cicero say anything?
Aye, he spoke Greek.
To what effect?
Nay, and I tell you that, I'll ne'er look you in the face again. But those that understood him smiled at one another and shook their heads. But for mine own part, it was Greek to me. I could tell you more news, too. Marellus and Flavius, for pulling scarves off Caesar's images, are put to silence. Fare you well. There's more foolery yet, if I could remember it.
Will you sup with me tonight, Casca?
No, I'm promised forth.
Will you dine with me tomorrow?
Aye, if I be alive, and your mind whole, and your dinner worth the eating.
Good, I will expect you.
Do so. Farewell, both.
What a blunt fellow is this grown to be. He was quick metal when he went to school.
So is he now, in execution of any bold or noble enterprise, however he puts on this tardy form. This rudeness is a sauce to his good wit, which gives men stomach to digest his words with better appetite.
And so it is. For this time, I will leave you. Tomorrow, if you please to speak with me, I will come home to you, or if you will, come home to me, and I will wait for you.
I will do so.